The Bible says this, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And verse 21 says, And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And I want to speak on this question tonight. Can a child of God be troubled by an evil spirit? Can a child of God be troubled by an evil spirit? Now, I know some of you maybe would be concerned with the title alone for me to speak about such a subject, especially with children present. But that's the very reason why I'm speaking about it, because the Bible tells us that it is often children who are marked and who are attacked by an evil spirit. And I'm going to try to explain some things tonight, and I hope that you will give it a good hearing. In Mark chapter number 9 and verse 21, the Bible says this, And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We see a demon-possessed boy in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, troubled by a dumb and a deaf spirit. Now, when an evil spirit comes upon somebody, it's called a foul spirit, a dumb spirit, a deaf spirit. This is referring to a filthy demon, a filthy spirit. And you've got to understand that one time God created a whole bunch of angels at the same time he created man on earth. And these angels were to be his servants, his ministers, and his messengers. But about a third of them rebelled against the authority of God, and there was a great revolt in heaven, led by one named Lucifer, who was a cherubim, that meant a two-winged angelic creature. And he led about a third of all of the stars, all of the angels of heaven, in a rebellion, and they became what were called fallen angels, sometimes called demons in the Greek, devils in the English, or spirits. And we see in this story that they attacked a little child. See, our concern should not be about our children knowing about this. Our concern should be about our children not knowing about this. And it shouldn't be our concern about fathers and mothers not knowing about this, but our fathers and mothers not knowing about this. This should be our concern. We cannot be ignorant of the spiritual warfare that we are in. For the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost, told us clearly, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we live in a day and age when many, many believers in Jesus Christ want to blame maybe the world for their behavior, or the flesh for their behavior, or the world for the behavior of their children, or the flesh for the behavior of their children or their young adults. But if I read my Bible right, we have three adversaries that we battle. And what are they? The world, the flesh, and yet you very rarely ever hear a Christian mother say, you know, maybe this is demonic. You very rarely ever hear a Christian father say, you know, maybe the problem with my child, it's demonic. And very rarely do you hear a brother or a sister in the Lord who's an adult stand up and say, you know, I believe that I am being troubled with an evil spirit. Could you pray for me? And yet we see in this story the effect of an evil spirit upon a child. And these stories are in the Bible so that we can learn from them. Notice it's a foul spirit. Are you ever affected by filth? I mean, I can remember a missionary once, and I prayed for him dearly, and I can remember him testifying, and I remember him saying to me, Pastor Cole, he said, I just wish that there could be one day in my life where I could get out of bed without having a filthy thought before my day starts. He said, I would like to just start one day and be able to at least get out of bed without having a filthy thought. It's a dumb spirit. What's a dumb spirit? It's when a person is not able to speak. It's a deaf spirit. What's a deaf spirit? It's when a person is not able to hear. Now you think about the spiritual application here in a lot of believers in Christ. Listen, I've preached for 20 years, 25. We've had people in this church for 20 years who have not ever once responded to a sermon. That's a dumb spirit, or that's a deaf spirit. Not once did they ever hear from God during a sermon, or come to an altar, or repent, or make a decision or a vow to God that they didn't go back on. I think our churches are filled today with people who have deaf spirits. Our churches are filled today with people who have dumb spirits. When they go outside of the church, they are so paralyzed in fear, they never mention Jesus to anybody. And all the time they're thinking, well, I just need more boldness. No, they might be troubled by an evil spirit. Because an evil spirit makes a person dumb. They can't hear anything. I don't need that sermon. Boy, I sure hope they get it. That didn't apply to me. I don't even announce sermon titles or subjects. You know why? There's people in every church that are so affected by an evil spirit that no matter what the title is, the very first response they'll have is, I don't need that. I'm not going tonight. I don't need that. It's a dumb spirit or deaf spirit. They don't have ears. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Some of you, I'm either the worst preacher that's ever existed, but some of you have never once responded to God under my ministry. Never once. And I mean never once. We have people in this church that have never once responded to God under my ministry. I'm either the worst preacher, and you ought to leave this church and go find a good preacher. Or you might want to consider, maybe I am being troubled by an evil spirit. When Saul, who we'll get back to, was troubled by an evil spirit, what was one of the signs of that troubling? He never heard from God again. It got so bad for him, he went down to a witch at Endor to try to find some direction for his life. When he was troubled by an evil spirit, he never heard from God again. Man, that scares the willies out of me. If I go to preaching, I better hear from God, or I'm going to hit the altar and say, God, why didn't I hear from you? There's something wrong with me. There are people who have a deaf spirit in the body of Christ. They never hear a word from God. There's people all over the body of Christ who have a dumb spirit. They never speak a word on the behalf of God. I hear sometimes statistics, I don't know what's true anymore, 95, 97% of all those who say they're born again Christians have never led another person to Christ. And they just become paralyzed in fear at every opportunity to ever speak about Christ to anybody at work, out in the neighborhood, out on visitation, anything. Do you understand tonight? It might be we have a dumb spirit. It might be we have a foul spirit. Why is it that so many Christian men that I know are absolutely addicted to pornography? And I mean full-blown, incurable addicts. Unless they get some help from God. And they come to church in suits and ties and King James Bibles and nice haircuts and everything. And you look at them outwardly and say, boy, that guy has got it all together. But he's a full-blown porn addict. That's a filthy spirit. That's a foul spirit. And others that aren't, but they can't have a clean thought in their mind. See, a lot of times we say, oh, well, it's just the world. You know, the world's so bad, right? And the world's always been bad. Or it's just the flesh. The flesh is weak. The flesh has always been weak. But brethren, especially Baptists, we're so spooked and so scared to talk about our adversary, the devil, and what the effect of a demon is upon a person. This little boy had a foul spirit already. He was a little boy. He had a dumb spirit already. He had a deaf spirit already. He was a child. And we shouldn't be concerned about our children hearing this. We should be concerned about our children not hearing this. And this goes for girls too. In Mark chapter number 7 and verse number 25, don't the devil is no respecter of persons. He doesn't like little boys and he doesn't like little girls either. In verse 25, it says in Mark 7, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. What was the description of the spirit upon this little girl? It was unclean. Unclean. Man, we see girls all over our country already involved in uncleanness, don't we? And we say, boy, they must, we got to get them some kind of medication or something. Or we got to get them some kind of contraceptives and hope to God maybe they don't get an incurable disease. These are the solutions. Did we ever think maybe we should be like this mom in this story or that dad in the last story who says, who was honest enough to say, my child is being disturbed by an unclean spirit? Thank God for a mother here who's honest and a father who's honest. And said, I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't do anything. At least he tried to find some help in the spiritual realm. Look, it's not always medication kids need for their behavior. We're making a bunch of dope addicts out of kids today. And oftentimes it is a spiritual warfare where Jesus brought out in the Bible that the devil goes after little boys and little girls. She came and fell at his feet, and she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She had the humility and the honesty to say, my daughter has a devil. She didn't say, well, my daughter just needs some behavior modification, and maybe it's just the terrible twos or threes or fours or whatever, or else everything's terrible every age. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her home, she found that the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon a bed. Both this little girl and this little boy got help when they came to Jesus. When a wise parent was humble enough to say, I think an evil spirit's affecting my kids. You know what we've seen in our church? We've seen an army of 18-year-olds graduate from high school and leave this church so fast it's not funny and never come back. We've seen it all year after year after year. A lot of times we've never considered maybe they're being troubled by an evil spirit. Well, they're just backslidden, we'll say, or they just got to sow their wild oats. Can a child of God be troubled by an evil spirit? In our text, we see a man named Saul. It says in verse 14 of 1 Samuel chapter 16, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. I'm so glad we live in this superior dispensation, not like the Old Testament, where the Spirit of God came and left and came and left and came and left and came and left people in the Old Testament. Amen? Jesus said when the Spirit of God comes in the true believer in Christ, he remains and abides with us forever. Praise the Lord. Our dispensation is different than the history we're reading here right now. Understand that. David prayed in Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I thank God I never have to pray that prayer. I can grieve the Holy Spirit. I can quench the Holy Spirit. But he's not going to leave me. The moment you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, God, the third person of the Trinity, came inside of you in the person of the Holy Ghost, and he lives inside of your body. And our body is now the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's with us forever. And I don't believe that any believer in Jesus Christ can be demon-possessed, but I think they can be troubled by an evil spirit. And I'm going to give you some New Testament examples also. Was Saul a child of God? Well, it says the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit from the Lord. We saw that four times. An evil spirit from the Lord, an evil spirit from the Lord, an evil spirit from the Lord. What does that mean? I believe it's referring to the word from is an interesting word. And I believe that it means to be allowed by the Lord. In Job 1 and verse 12, it says, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and attacked Job. In Job 2 and verse 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and attacked Job a second time. And so the devil was up in heaven accusing Job of all kinds of things and said that Job serves you for naught and you just put a hedge of protection around him and that's fine, but you take that hedge of protection off him and he'll curse you. And God said, well, let's find out. And so Satan came from the Lord. God gave permission for Satan. You know, the biggest war that's ever going to take place in heaven hasn't ever happened yet. It's going to happen in Revelation 12. And what's going to happen that day? The devil and every one of his last angels are going to be summoned to heaven. There's going to be war in heaven. And then he'll be cast out and his devils. The Bible seems to indicate they still have access into heaven, into the throne of God, and to accuse the brethren. Which one of you will go and deceive him? I'll go. How are you going to do it? I'll go and be a lying spirit in him. And that spirit came upon that false prophet in the days of Micaiah. And so I believe this is saying here that God allowed an evil spirit to go from his presence and to affect Saul Because Saul, prior to this time, had become lifted up in pride, and his pride then produced rebellion, and his rebellion produced stubbornness. And he no longer wanted to do anything God wanted him to do, and he only wanted to do what Saul wanted to do, and said, God said, okay, I'll go ahead. And the Holy Spirit of God departed from him, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Was Saul really a child of God? In 1 Samuel 28, we have this interesting statement from Samuel, a prophet who had previously died before Saul, and he was in the lower regions of the earth. Samuel was a good man. And the Bible says this in verse number 19, Samuel was called up by the witch of Endor. Just notice some of the sayings here. Verse 8, go back to verse 8. Saul is talking to the witch and says, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him, notice this word, up. Verse 11, whom shall I bring up unto thee? Verse 13, what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. Verse 14, well, what form is he? An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. Notice that, cometh up. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. Verse 15, and Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Notice, up, 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 five times. When Jesus died, he said what? He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Matthew 12, verse 40. See, in Old Testament times, when people died, whether sinners or saints, they went down into the lower regions of the earth. And that's where they were. There was two compartments. One was a place of rest and comfort. One was a place of torment and separation from God. And those that were at rest, what's called Abraham's bosom, were people like Samuel. And they brought him up to talk to Saul. And Saul, I'm sorry, to talk to Samuel. And Samuel, the good prophet, prophesied this. Notice this in verse number 20, or verse number 19. Moreover, now Samuel, the prophet, is telling Saul, who had gone off into sin and pride and stubbornness and rebellion, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Guess what happened on the next day? There was a war. Saul was killed, and Jonathan was killed, and Melchishua was killed, and Abinadab were killed, all three of his sons. And the prophecy, Samuel said, and what did Samuel said? Tomorrow you're going to be with me. You're going to be with me in this place of rest. You're going to be in eternity. You're going to die, and your spirit is going to come down to be with me. I believe that Saul was, in the Old Testament sense of the word, saved, a child of God. He was looking forward. He had had a wonderful, wonderful start in his walk with God. God chose him as the first king of Israel. And in chapter 10 and verse 1, Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain? Verse 5, after that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. It shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Verse 7, and let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Verse 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Verse 10. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And verse 11. He prophesied with the prophets. And they said one to another, what is this that has come on the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Notice that, verse 12, verse 13. And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. This is how he started. God was all over this man. Because he was humble. Because he was anointed by the Lord. And God used him greatly. But later on, the power of the office of being king of Israel began to corrupt him, and he began to be proud, and began to be jealous of other men, and he became threatened by other men that were around him, like David, and Jonathan, his own son. He tried to kill his own son, Jonathan, and tried to kill David because he became threatened. Some men are like that. They're so insecure that they can't work with other men that might be better than them in some area. The lady started singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. A spirit of jealousy came over him, and pride came over him, and rebellion came over him, and stubbornness came over him, and he became disobedient to the clear commands of God regarding the Amalekites, that God finally said, I've given up on you. I've rejected you. As being king, I'm going to find another man who has a heart after my heart. And that's when everything started going bad. And instead of Saul, and Saul was given chances to repent under the preaching of Samuel, but he refused to. And then God just said, okay. All right, you don't want to follow my Holy Spirit. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. God's not going to always fight with you and I if we don't submit to him. Eventually he'll say, I'll go find someone else to work with. Kind of scares me, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul was concerned about that. He said, man, he says, I keep my body under subjection lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He talked there about being put on a shelf, and Paul said, boy, I want to just keep my body under subjection. I want to become close to God because I don't want to be a preacher and then have God just stick me on a shelf and never use me again. Sometimes God gives people up to a reprobate mind. We're told in Romans chapter 1, and listen, there are believers in Jesus Christ who have a reprobate mind. They have so filled their mind with garbage that God's just given them over to a reprobate mind. Saul was troubled with an evil spirit. Saul was troubled with an evil spirit, led to his destruction. God just turned him over. You know, there's other stories like that. Peter. In the New Testament. You know what Jesus said to Peter one time? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. And Peter was called Satan in Matthew chapter 16. Now we know that Peter got over it and certainly became a great, great man of God. In fact, his experience was used one time later. It gave him some discernment, the thing that he went through, where Satan had filled his heart with evil thoughts towards Jesus. And he tried to keep Jesus from doing the most important work Jesus came to do, hang on a cross someday and die for our sins. And Jesus, in rebuking Peter, went beyond Peter and said, he didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was a man of God. He was a man who was already ordained that he should be with the Lord. Now, God used him later, but at that moment, something terrible came over him. Later on in one of his experiences, he said this to another man named Ananias in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Ananias was a member of the church at Jerusalem. He was a member. He was a church member. But the Bible says, why has Satan filled thine heart? Satan can fill the heart of a believer with ungodly thoughts, to lie to God. And this was a money matter. He had sold some land and promised God, Lord, if you help me sell this land, I'll give all the money to you. Peter said, you didn't have to do that. That's up to you. It was your business. But you made the vow and you didn't keep it. And you lied to God and your wife lied too. You kept back a part of it for yourselves. You were covetous. Ananias died because of that sin. The devil got into him. In 1 Corinthians 5, we talk about a filthy spirit. We have a man having relationships with his own mother. I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't, except that it was written in the Bible. In verse 1, it says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his own wife, his father's wife, rather. Have his father's wife. Now, that's either his mother or his stepmother. Now, what does Paul tell the church to do in verse 4? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you have gathered together, and my spirit with the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And you know what? They did that. And it worked. And the guy ended up overcoming his weakness in the flesh. He was disfellowshipped. He was put out of the church. But he repented, and he got right with God, and then the church was encouraged to receive him back into the membership of the church. He was a new man. But for a while there, he was under the control of Satan. He was troubled by the devil, and he got into, you talk about an unclean and a foul spirit, he got into some of the most unclean behavior that's mentioned in the Bible that's worse than some of the heathen, what the heathen people were doing. The Apostle Paul talked about a couple of men that he had to deal with once in his ministry. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 20, he said these words. He said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they learn not to blaspheme. Hymenaeus and Alexander, concerning the faith, had made shipwreck. Why? Because they didn't have a good conscience anymore. We better examine our consciences when we can get to the place where we can justify our behavior, even though we know what the Bible says. We have a seared conscience. We need God's help. We need some healing. And we've opened ourselves up to some satanic. It's amazing. What the Bible says about the last days. And in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And I want to say this, you can't depart from the faith unless you're in the faith. The Bible says the last times will be marked by a church of believers, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, and some of them will begin to depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we're sitting around almost believing today like demons don't even exist. And yet it's going to be one of the main signs that the church will be attacked in the last days by seducing spirits. Seducing just means spirits that cause us to follow our flesh and to pursue a life of pleasure, and that whatever feels good is what we're going to do. But the Bible says they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. We put down the flesh, crucify, we deny self and die to self on a daily basis. And instead are filled with the Spirit. And as I mentioned this morning, that kind of a life's a whole lot better than living in the flesh. But we live in a day when the church of Jesus Christ is being seduced by evil spirits, and we walk around like somehow in this dispensation demons don't bother us. Seducing spirits. They're everywhere. My, oh, my. I just had an article I left it downstairs in my office. Cut it out of the paper today. Today's Buffalo News. Cut it out about the Rock the Lakes concert coming up here in September in Buffalo. Rock the Lakes. That's what it's called. Rock the Lakes. Big Christian music festival with Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, preaching. And it is, what is Christian music festival? It's going around featuring Christian rock and Christian hip-hop. And there are churches everywhere following this spirit. Everywhere. And I'm sure they're going to put down in this pilot field or whatever it is, probably 20, 30,000 people for that. Will people get saved? Absolutely, because the gospel will be preached. Not because of the music, but because of the power of the message. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I don't care where it's preached. God always blesses the gospel because he said he would, and he can't lie. But the end does not justify the means for the believer in Jesus Christ who's trying to walk in the Spirit. We can go out to the Dunkirk Fair, and we can go out to the Hamburg Fair, and in about 3 weeks there's been years where we've had 400 to 500 people converted to Jesus Christ without using any music. But what does this music open people up to? Seduction. There are doors to demonism that are being opened today to people, and then their behavior is affected. And if we're not careful, we'll say, boy, Pastor Cole and the church sure failed my young people. Pastor Seth sure failed to help my young person. And they would go from a service like this out into their car, put on their rock music on the way home, and wonder why the Spirit of God was grieved and nothing was accomplished that night. We've got to realize that there are some things that are doors to demonism, doors to allow devils to trouble our children. Things like rock music, drugs, even some of the legal drugs that are being prescribed by doctors today. I've heard of people who've ended up being troubled by evil spirits because of them. Alcohol, pornography, Satanism, a lot of what you're seeing today on television. There's just demonic shows, and there's demonic movies out there. There's horrible movies, gore movies, horror movies, witchcraft movies. We, you know, probably the most famous movies of the children of America to watch in the last 10 years have been Harry Potter movies. Introducing them to witchcraft and wizards and so on and so forth. And a lot of moms and dads have just kind of gotten in line like cattle and herded their kids into this. And a lot of it's been done in ignorance. They don't know. But then they start scratching their head when their kid's troubled. When their kid's troubled by this. The Bible says it's one of the simplest verses you'll ever read, but the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 27, these words, it says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him place. Look, when I was growing up, I mean, every one of you that grew up with me, you can finish this sentence. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now it's being used for evangelism. Now it's being used in the church. You understand there's churches today that got strobe lights, color lights going, rock bands, electric guitars, drum sets, fog machines with fog coming up, and people are just packed. Those are seducing spirits. and doctrines of devils. And yeah, it makes people feel good. It makes people, but have you ever interviewed or talked to those people and see what they feel like on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? We're not going to have a part of it around here. There are foul spirits, brethren, unclean spirits, dumb spirits, deaf spirits. And we wonder why it is that back in the 1980s, when we used to have about 50,000 Americans out in the world who went forth as missionaries to preach the gospel, and now that's down to about 10,000? And we're having all these festivals and kingdom bounds and so on and so forth. Is that producing a Holy Spirit in people? Is that producing a call? You know, some of the holiest people that ever lived in Christian history were the Moravian Christians. And they were a separated people, a God-loving people. They didn't give place to the devil in any way. And it said that in the Moravian churches, one out of every four members would eventually go to the mission field. And we've seen our children grow up and graduate from high school and leave this church as fast as they, at breakneck speed, get out of here and never come back. And we're praying they'll get their hearts right with God. We ought to be praying that the evil spirit that's come upon them would get off of them. And if you're here today and you say, you know, no matter what I do, I can't speak for Christ. I just clam up. I just get paralyzed with fear. I can't testify to anybody about Christ. Maybe somebody will be humble enough tonight and say, you know, it's not that I need more boldness. I've been praying for that for 20 years. Maybe I have an evil spirit that's come upon me, and I just have a dumb spirit. I just can't speak. Or I go to church Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and Thursdays or whatever, and I never hear from God. Maybe you have a deaf spirit. Maybe you have a deaf spirit. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. I've seen pastors depart from the faith. Just give up good godly music, give up good King James Bible, and just go to churches that have no standards, no doctrine, no good Bible, no good music, and throw away everything they've learned. Just because that place is getting a crowd. A crowd is not a church. The word church, ecclesia, means a called out assembly, called out of the world for the purpose of assembling together. Look, what are you watching on TV at home? What are your kids seeing on the internet? What are they seeing on their cell phones? What are they listening to in their cars? Brethren, I spent 4 years away from God. I was one of those 18-year-olds that bolted out of the church as fast as I could. I had nothing to do. I went to every rock concert I could possibly go to. I got involved in filthy and foul and unclean behavior. I never spoke for Christ to anybody. The last thing I want anybody to know is I was a Christian. I was born again. I never heard from God. There was a season. I am not kidding you. You're not going to believe this. There was a season about 3 years in my life. I never heard from God. Except when he severely chastened me. And I couldn't ignore it. And one day he put me flat on my back on a football field. And he said, Art, you are not running anymore. And he beat the tar out of me, and I put the white flag up. And I surrendered my life to the Lord, and I went to a missions conference, and in one sermon, my whole life was changed. And I heard from God for the first time in about 3 years. And God's been speaking to me ever since. And that is so precious to me, I don't want anything to come between me and God speaking to me. And brethren, I have told people all my life I have no explanation for my behavior at that time, because I was saved when I was about 12. But I know now. I believe I was troubled with an evil spirit. I believe I was troubled with an evil spirit. I could tell you stories of things that happened to me while I was on drugs or while I was on drunk that I don't want to repeat with anybody. But absolutely terrifying satanic experiences that scared the willies out of me. And I said, I got to get away from this world, this evil world, get back to the Lord. And I've said this before, I don't pray as much as I do because I'm a spiritual man or a strong man. I pray as much as I do because I know how weak I am. I need God's help. I don't know if you think this spiritual warfare is real or not, but brethren, you'd be better off. Now, I'm not saying we ought to go around looking for a demon around every tree. Some people go nuts with this. But here's the first thing. I knew this would be a long sermon. I knew it, but I chose it because I know there's no school tomorrow and stuff. But there's a couple things you can do if you're being troubled by an evil spirit. And one of them is pray and fast. We just read it. Jesus said, this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. You're going to have to go without some food, maybe for a meal or two or something, and say, dear God, help me, take this away from me, please. Some of you, I know some of you, and you talk about your filthy minds and your filthy hearts and how you just can't. You've been saved forever, but you can't shake that. And I thank God for you young people who have pure minds and clean minds. And I can't tell you how important it is to keep your heart clean, to keep your mind clean. Don't let curiosity get the best of you. Don't let it get the best of you. You're not missing anything. The Bible says, be simple concerning that which is evil. It comes from the word simpleton. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know what drugs are like or alcohol or pornography. You don't have to know what all these sites on the internet are about and so on and so forth. Dads, moms, we gotta get our control on that television, or we gotta get rid of it. I really believe that my three children have no clue what I'm talking about tonight, what I've been through, and I believe that they have not had to experience it. And I thank God for that. I thank God. I'm sure they have their own struggles. But they are clueless about the things their dad's been through in spiritual warfare when I was troubled by an evil spirit. We got to stay away from some things. We got to pray. We got to fast. Here's one. Lester Roloff used this thing. Oh, he helped so many people. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 3, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He used to take the worst people. People involved in prostitution, people involved in drugs and gangs, and he'd take them down to his homes when he was alive down there, and he'd have 500 in this home, troubled girls, 500 troubled boys in this home, 500 alcoholic men, just thousands. And you know what? He would feed them tremendous portions of the Word of God. And they would read and read and read the Bible for hours. And memorized chapter after chapter after chapter of Scripture. And his conversion rate was astounding. It was so astounding, I think the state of Texas got so jealous they just attacked him, took him to court, threw him in jail, everything. But he saw a phenomenal rate of deliverance in people by just giving them the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? I'm taking heed thereto according to his word. I can't tell you how much this book has helped wash my mind of stuff I've put in it. I try to read this book every morning of my life, every night of my life. I'm in the word. You better watch those magazines. You better watch those romance novels. Better watch those books you're reading, the sites you're looking at, the television. Oh, I can handle it. You know, there's something about demons that I've studied that they paw with people. You know what I mean? Do you ever see a cat take care of a mouse? I grew up on a farm. We had barn cats. They'd catch a mouse. They would cripple the mouse, break one of its legs, and then let it run off like it was getting away. And then wham, they pounce on it. And they'd bat it around for a little while until it was senseless, and it'd be on its back flailing away, almost dying, and the cat would walk away and just watch it. And it'd get on its feet and get its bearings and start trying to get away, and wham, cat would attack it again. This is how felines operate. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And there's times where it seems like we're getting away. Hey, I think I finally got over this filthy habit. And then like 2 weeks later, wham, you're hit with it again. You wonder what happened. The Bible says that demons will leave a person they're bothering with and will go somewhere else seeking rest. But when they find none, they come right back. And the deception is, when they're away, we think in pride, I'm fine. I got over that. And then wham, we wonder, what happened? What happened? Brethren, we need to be in the Word. Prayer. Fasting. Asking others to pray for us. And I should say this too, good music. Good Christian music. They found a guy when Saul was troubled by an evil spirit who could play well with a harp. His name was David. When he played, his spirit was refreshed, and the evil spirit departed. I believe the Bible teaches us that evil spirits just can't handle people who are really praising God and worshiping God. And brethren, I just wanted to share this tonight with you. I want you to think about yourself. Do I have a dumb spirit? How come I can't speak for Christ? When I walk out of the church, man, I'm a different person. I can sing here and praise here and give testimony here, but man, when I get outside the church, I can't say a thing. Do you have a deaf spirit? You say, I haven't heard from God in a long time. I read the Bible every day. I'm not getting anything out of it. Do you have a foul and unclean spirit? Could you be humble enough to say, man, I can't go through a day without my mind just corrupted with filth? And you young people that don't know what I'm talking about, praise God Almighty. You are so blessed. You're so blessed. Get into the Word, pray. And in every case when somebody was helped with demon possession, demon oppression, being troubled, the solution was they got close to Jesus Christ. And Jesus helped them. I'd like us to bow our heads for a word of prayer. I have preached for an hour tonight. That's a long time. I don't usually do that. But this was a sermon that I wanted to use on a night when we'd have a little bit more time because of school and everything. But this is serious stuff. And maybe tonight God has shown us something of what it is. We're thinking the world because the world's getting so bad. We're thinking the flesh because the flesh is weak, but there's another adversary, the devil. And if you don't think he troubles believers, then I hope maybe tonight's doctrine will help change your heart about that. Father, bless now as we sing. Help us. And Lord, if there's those that haven't heard anything tonight, we pray that the dumb spirit be lifted off of them. The deaf spirit, Lord. Help us as we go out. We get the dumb spirit. We can't witness to anybody. We can talk to them fluently about the weather, sports, history, war, anything, politics. But come to Jesus and something comes over us. And we can't speak. Lord, help those with a filthy spirit and a foul spirit, an unclean spirit, to recognize tonight. Maybe it's not their weak flesh. Maybe it's not the world getting so bad. Maybe they're being troubled by an evil spirit. God, teach us to pray, fast, read your word, get close to Jesus, listen to only good music. I think this is why Satan is perverting the music of people, so once they do get saved, they don't get the victory. Lord, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.